This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, yo, what's up, baby? Hey. Get these headphones checked a little bit. Let's go one more time. We welcome you in here to the Thursday, March 13th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Boiling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
KC is out today. Our man's a little under the weather.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
We are so happy that you're here with us. We're about one drink in here to the employee appreciation brunch. I think we're gonna have to get another one. You sipping over there or no?
No, I don't really sip during work.
Oh, excuse me.
I don't really sip unless it's like I'm in like a spot where I'm comfortable, you know?
No, I got you. Well, I feel like I'm sitting in this room for the next 6 hours by myself, like I'm perfectly comfortable having another drink.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's none of the drinks that I like love, but you know, it's enough. A little orange juice and Tito's will work. It's fine. Nice little breakfast put on from the crew out there. We're thrilled that you're here with us, man. Thank you so much for tuning in. Obviously, a huge game tonight in San Francisco at the Chase Center. The Sacramento Kings take on the Golden State Warriors, as we were talking about just a moment ago with the insiders. Any thought on the sixth seed? Any thought at a guaranteed playoff spot without going through the play-in? All boils down to this. It boils down to tonight's game. The Warriors are pretty much white hot right now. They're playing incredible with Jimmy Butler in the lineup. And you got Jonathan Kuminga coming back. Now, that could go multiple directions. Jonathan Kuminga could come out, fit in seamlessly with this group. Jonathan Kuminga could come back, be a little off, maybe throw off the flow. Sacramento Kings take advantage of that. You could have a Sacramento Kings team that is ultra locked in and motivated after a couple of days off and two straight losses. The heartbreaker to the Los Angeles Clippers. And, of course, that ass whooping at the hands of the New York Knicks. But this is kind of it. Clippers got a win last night. You know, they had a back-to-back, split those two games, so you want to keep pace with them. You know, there was a scenario where if they had lost yesterday, the Kings could have gone into tonight's game with an opportunity to pull even in the loss column if they win and, you know, be right there. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about seventh within reach, already at the eighth spot. You get a win, you've obviously gained something on the Golden State Warriors. Well, we throw that result out there, and then you got the Timberwolves who just kind of keep winning. And that's the seventh and eighth spot. It's six straight for Minnesota. And as I told the insiders just a moment ago, like, they're playing well. Can't knock that at all. I didn't buy them last year, and they looked really good, like, meaning at the beginning of the year. And they started winning. It's like, all right, I give it to them. I thought the Julius Randle trade was going to work out a little bit better. It was kind of one of those things where I really did feel like, you know, both teams probably came out okay. Karl Anthony Towns, maybe the better player of the two. He's going to fit in perfectly with New York. And then you've got Julius Randle. I think that actually works. Julius Randle been in and out of the lineup. Obviously, he's back now, and you feel like, all right, six straight, I'll pay attention. I don't know how much attention, but I'll pay attention. And I've seen them, like, they've played well. They're playing well. The question I ask, and this was, this is what we were talking about from a Kings perspective leading into tonight's game against the Warriors. What's sustainable? It feels like the Golden State Warriors are sustainable. Could be wrong. I don't think everybody agrees with that. It's perfectly fine. But I feel like what they're doing is sustainable. Of course, they did it at the beginning of the year. They won at a freakishly high clip at the beginning of the year. My dumb ass thought it was sustainable then, and it wasn't. As James kept saying, no, they're not going to be able to keep this up. And of course, they were winning. What were they, like 13-2? No, they're not that. They're not 13-2. Okay? But then they went to hell. I mean, 13-2, they got all the way back to, I think they were below 500 at one point. Started to get a little bit better around the Jimmy Butler trade and then executed the trade for Jimmy Butler. Of course, you lost Jonathan Kuminga, I think, in January. And then they execute the trade for Jimmy Butler, and now, you know, it's five straight wins for them. I think it's 10 straight with Jimmy in the lineup. I think 11-2 overall with Jimmy Butler. Like, that's sustainable to me. So you're watching Minnesota right now, and I ask you, do you think what you're seeing from Minnesota is sustainable?
What's sustainable mean? Like, just
is this who they are? Is the seventh spot?
Because they're playing like good ball, but it's like I don't know if they're going to make a run in the playoffs. Like,
so let's take making a run out of the equation and just boil it down to: is this sustainable for the next, 19 games or whatever it is that they have left on their schedule to secure a seventh seed or potentially compete with the Golden State Warriors for the sixth seed? Or do they wind up doing what we're seeing? Do they wind up doing with what we've seen from them all year? What we're seeing with the Los Angeles Clippers right now, what we're seeing with the Sacramento Kings right now. You win a couple, lose a couple, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. You kind of just split the difference along the way. But are they, and I'm not suggesting that they're undefeated the rest of the way, but you look at six straight wins. They beat the crap out of the Nuggets. All right, salute. They beat the Spurs. They beat the Heat. They beat the Hornets. They beat the 76ers. And they beat the Suns. Hey, they took care of business. Didn't the game before. They lost to the Jazz. Lost to the Lakers. Beat the Thunder. Lost to the Lakers. Lost to the Rockets. Beat the Thunder. Lost to the Rockets. Lost to the Cavs. That's me moving backwards.
I think it's sustainable in the fact where, like, they're not going to end up three games over 500 or anything like that. Like, they're nine games over right now. I think they'll stay around there. I don't think they'll slip back too much. They'll stay up.
Well,
they're tied with the Warriors right now.
You might be right.
Sixth, but
you might be right, because here's their schedule coming up: Orlando, Utah, Indiana. There's two games against New Orleans. There's another game against Indiana. Then they got Phoenix, Detroit, Denver. They got Brooklyn, Philly. They got another game against Milwaukee. Memphis, Brooklyn, Utah to close out the season. It's not the most difficult schedule. But again, six in a row. They've won six in a row. Denver, easily the best team in that group. Miami, the second best team.
I don't think the Kings are catching them. I'll say that.
Okay. That's fair enough. What do they got? Two on the Kings or one?
Three and a half. The Timberwolves are 3.5 up on the Kings right now.
3.5?
Yeah, if I'm doing math right, they're 16.5 back of the one seed. The Kings are 20 back of the one seed. So split the difference. That's 3.5 right there, right?
Damn. Okay. I had that. I thought it was two. Looking at the Kings. You know what I'm looking at? That's my fault, Jesse. You know what I'm looking at? They've played more games. I'm looking at the loss column.
Gotcha.
Minnesota has 29 losses. Sacramento has 31. That's where they are right now. And looking at Minnesota's schedule, like, yeah, they've done a good job of taking care of business. So that just might be what we're looking at right now. But I'm not buying this team at all. And I'll piggyback what you said. I don't think Minnesota's making any sort of run in the playoffs. I think this team they're fine. That's what the Minnesota Timberwolves are. They're fine. It's a fine basketball team. The end. That's it.
They have a star player, and just like you said, like the rest of their guys are just fine players. Like Rudy Gobert isn't what I guess he used to be with Utah or anything like that. And Julius Randle's always just been a guy, like a number two or number three, if that.
So they'll go. Tell me if I'm wrong. The Timberwolves will go as Anthony Edwards goes.
No, I won't even say that. I think Ant can do well, but he can get bounced in the play-in still. Mm. The team's just not good enough to go anywhere in the playoffs, like, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they're going anywhere either. But that's not my concern, what they're doing in the playoffs. I'm not buying them in the playoffs. I'm feeling like they could. Mm. Yeah, looking at that schedule, I don't know. They'd have to, like, slip. Because, again, we just went over it. They're beating bad teams. They're splitting games with good teams. There's more bad teams than good teams left on their schedule. And that seems to be, and it is obviously, as we have outlined exhaustively, I feel like, for a month now, it's the exact opposite for the Sacramento Kings. Like, we started talking about this schedule at All-Star break. We started talking about this run where you've got the Golden State Warriors and you've got, you've got these back-to-backs, right? You had the one, you know, last week with the Clippers and the Knicks, or earlier this week, I guess I should say. Then you have this one here where they'll play in San Francisco tonight, and then they'll play the Phoenix Suns tomorrow. And then, Cleveland's coming to town. You've got Milwaukee coming to town, Oklahoma City, Boston, all of that. All of that's ahead. We have outlined this schedule exhaustively, and we've looked at everybody else's schedules. The Warriors, the Timberwolves, the Clippers. I mean, Dallas and Phoenix, they can't help themselves. Like, Dallas is a disaster. Phoenix, they cannot help themselves. I'm not going to say anything bad about them. You got to play them tomorrow. I'm not going to say nothing bad about them. They could win any game that they play. Just a question of will they or not that day. And more times than not, they're not winning that game. And that's going to be the case. Like, if Dallas holds on to a playoff spot, given they've marched like six guys out onto the healthy bodies the other night.
Jason Kidd, coach of the year, if so?
God, no. No. But, yo, what does that say about Phoenix? What does it say about dudes like, what does it say about Devin Booker? You have a basketball team that is literally and figuratively dead. And you still can't catch them.
Yeah.
That's a tough look. I'm a KD guy. That's a tough look, dude. KD had like 12 points or something last night.
I've been harping on the vibe since the trade stuff. I think
it's
I'm going to stick with that.
Like,
I think
it is.
That's too tough to overcome, I feel.
It is so, so bad.
It's like everyone who's ever had senioritis in high school is like, all right, I'm out of here. And then after this year, it's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Try this year for at all? And I'm not saying that they're not trying, but it's just it's the end coming up.
You're 100% right. They want it to be over.
Yeah.
They want this season to be over. And like, I know we're box score watching. Are you watching this basketball team play? They are lifeless. If they got beat by Houston, no shame in getting beat by Houston, but how y'all have no fight in you? Like,
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely none. Highlight of that game was a fight between Mason Plumlee and Steven Adams.
Shocked that Mason Plumlee won that, actually, too.
I don't know that.
No, he won. He took him down. Like, Steven Adams tried doing the whole, oh, I'm from Australia or wherever he's from, New Zealand, I think. You're not going to move me. And Mason Plumlee took him down. That's a 10-8 round for Mason Plumlee.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
No, it was. I was shocked. I wanted it to go the other way. Mason Plumlee won that.
Are we sure? I think we might need to look at the tape again.
We can run that back, but he took him down, I'm pretty sure.
We'll pull up the tape. Jesse will scorecard the fight between Mason Plumlee and Steven Adams. We'll continue to talk basketball, man. Another marquee win for the Oklahoma City Thunder last night. Of course, we'll talk much more about the Kings and the Warriors as well. We all know why Kitty took the day off for real, though. Mac Jones is finally a San Francisco 49er. We've got all that ahead. We're thrilled that you're here with us. Be the co-host for the day. Hit the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Steelo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Well, I can't believe I have to do this. Since Kenny's not here, we got Beam money. Download the Prize Picks app today. And since Kenny's not here, I can tell you, use the promo code KSFM. Use the promo code KSFM or the promo code KIFM. Get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. They got DeMontis Sabonis, easy money at 0.5 three-pointers made. Y'all want to get in on that? Let's see if we can get some demons here for DeMar DeRozan. 6.5 assists. I love you, DeMar. I don't think I'm doing that. What do we got for Domas? Demon money, 17.5 points for DeMontis Sabonis against the Golden State Warriors. Huh. That warranted a demon. I might take that. I might take that right there. What else we got from Keegan Murray? 18.5 points plus rebounds. Let's see if we can get a demon out of that. 24.5 points in rebounds. I'm going to take that as well. Let me see if we got something from Steph Curry here against the Sacramento Kings tonight. Oh, do I have to put Stephen Curry? There he is. You do. You have to put Stephen Curry in. Let's see. What do we got with Steph? What's the point number? 26.5 is even. 20.5 is the goblin. 29.5 is the demon. I play all three of those demons. A $20 bet lands. Oh, that ain't even worth it. $20 bet lands 260, but those are too risky. Those are too risky. I might do it. I'm going to do it anyways. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the promo code KSFM or use the promo code KIFM and get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, I will not say it like him. Run your game.
I don't have Kenny here to like share my food takes with. So real quick, you're here. Have you ever tried the hot honey on pepperoni pizza?
I have not.
You need to try that. It'll change your life. You won't go back.
Okay. We know I don't eat pizza.
That's true, huh?
Yeah.
Like at all?
I don't eat cheese.
Yeah. Damn it. We need Kenny here.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. I know I've gotten very laxed with how I eat. Like I had a little piece of bacon out there that was just incredible. But like dairy, there's no gift.
I got you.
So I apologize for that. Can we score this fight real quick? Let's see here. So Jesse is adamant that Steven Adams lost this fight. Mason Plumlee gets the dub. We see the double arm hook already.
So it's after the basket.
Yep. All right. In there. Okay. Camera cuts away. Steven's got him wrapped up and they go to the ground.
It looks like Steven took him down to watch.
So Steven couldn't turn him is what happened. He couldn't turn him on the way down, and Plumlee retained position. All right, now here maybe perhaps a better view here. All right, underarm hook. Now watch. Hey, get off me. Get off me.
Look at Big Mace.
Wraps him up. Nah, he wraps him up, and down they goes, but Plumlee lands on top. Steven Adams couldn't turn him. Steven Adams tries to turn him. Plumlee blocks it.
That's Mason Plumlee taking him down.
No, Mason Plumlee did not take him down.
He fell on him. He fell on him.
No, I think Steve. Nah.
He earthquaked on Damian the Snake.
I don't think that's true. I think Steven tried to. I think Steven tried to suplex him, and I'll get. Okay. Plumlee gets the round, but it's got to be 10-9.
That's fine. But
look. Steven Adams tries to turn him, and he can't. Plumlee blocks, and then everybody gets up. That was the most exciting thing that happened in the NBA last night. No, that's not true. Mikal Bridges.
That was facts. That was a good shot. I saw that live.
That was a hell of a shot. Kyle Mattson, kind enough to come back and hang out for a few minutes. Appreciate you, man. What's going on?
Yeah, I need a ruling here.
Okay.
This is for Jesse, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Actually, it's probably primarily for Jesse, the head official. So I'm scrolling Instagram, which is typically what I do after a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a Ticketmaster ad. That pops up on, I shouldn't have said their name, but whatever. I get an ad from a ticket place that has DeMar DeRozan on it.
Okay.
And the first thing I see is DeMar. So I'm like, oh, wait, what happened? And I catch a vibe, what's going on.
Okay.
Here's what the ad says.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Whether it's the dribbles or the drip, the NBA is better IRL.
Play on.
It's uncomfortable.
The dribbles or the drip?
And it's you play uncomfortable. On. You play on.
Yeah, it's you play uncomfortable.
On. Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't. It's not egregious.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like that Kings one you sent us that one time.
All right. Very good.
Yeah. Play on that.
The King. That
one.
The
Kings one was
crazy.
That was Kings insane. They knew what they were doing on that one. They knew what they were doing.
All right, I just wanted to make sure.
Kings one was a little wild. It was a little wild. It's uncomfortable, but it's fine.
Okay. We're playing on. Very good.
Kyle Mattson of the Insiders here. You buying Minnesota at all?
We were talking
about this for a second. You were,
okay. Yeah, not as now.
Can I read something to you real quick? Just real quick.
Is it going
to
refute my point?
I hope so.
Nah, then no.
Okay,
I'm not interested in.
I understand.
Learning about.
That's fine.
No, what?
Well, they've won six in a row.
Yeah, correct.
You knew that.
Yeah, since Julius Randle came back.
Right.
He's averaging 18.8 points, 7.5 boards, and 6.5 assists on 51.3% from the field.
So you dug into this.
I did.
You saw that they beat Phoenix.
I did.
And Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And Charlotte.
Philadelphia is tough. Quentin Grimes will get you. Go ahead.
Okay. Miami.
Uh-huh.
San Antonio?
Yeah.
Okay. And then they beat Denver last night.
Yeah. So here's what I kept saying. Like, I'm keeping an eye on Minnesota, but again, like their schedule. Mm-hmm. And I said on the show yesterday, I was like, I'm keeping an eye on this game because this will tell me a lot about Minnesota. And then they went in and just dominated that.
Yeah, they
game.
Beat their ass.
And what they and I the thing that's tough though, to your point, is yeah, they won six in a row. That's good for that. Like they needed to string together some wins. And Julius Randle's playing well and he looks a lot more effective than he had early in the season. The the thing you could push back on, though, is even Denver, as good as Denver is, and Minnesota beat them by 20 on their home court, Minnesota's just a weird matchup for Denver. Minnesota's just a tough matchup for them because they can do things defensively.
Yeah,
they can do things defensively with Jokic that not a lot of teams can do.
Yeah,
and that's why you see him. I think he had 31 last night, but what do you have? I think four assists, four assists, eight rebounds. Like they're able to limit all of the things that make him this just like juggernaut of a player.
Yeah,
and when that happens, you realize just kind of how pedestrian Denver is. Denver's not that, like, top to bottom, their roster is not super impressive. It's Jokic maximizing everything that every single one of those guys can do.
I don't disagree about their roster. Can Denver win a playoff series?
Yeah.
Can they win two?
Sure. I think they can go to the finals.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Jokic is sick.
Okay.
Like they're that,
I don't think
like
I was expecting that after you just said that about the roster.
Yeah, they're in. So, have we not done my West tiers on this show yet? Sweet. Here we go. Buckle up.
Okay.
OKC is tier one. Nice. Nice.
Thanks. Thank you.
Is that a Gucci buckle you just built?
That's not crazy. It's not. It was a fictitious buckle.
OKC is by themselves, tier one. Uh-huh. Like the title contender. Tier two is Denver.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Do you want me to take notes and like comment later, or comment as you go?
Okay, no, comment is that's a better radio bit.
Okay, so
you're the professional here.
So okay, that is
tier one.
True, we kind of like go as you go. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's facts.
Who's we?
You are.
Y'all are following me.
Yeah,
Charlie too. We're just right. No, so
OKC
is tier one.
And so they're okay.
In the West.
Is the lone tier title contender in the West.
Yeah, but follow me.
Okay.
There's more.
Okay.
They're the title contender.
Okay.
Right below them in tier two are the teams that I could see going to the finals.
Okay.
Like the teams I could see. I think OKC will. They're in a tier by themselves. Then there's the guys who are like, okay, it was the Lakers. I'm taking them out for now. As long as LeBron's not on the court, the Lakers don't get to be involved. And then Denver is also there.
When LeBron gets back, do we just throw them back in there, though?
TBD. Got to see what he looks like.
TBD.
Yeah. It's very good radio. I'm on the fence on that.
Okay.
But they were playing so well.
There's a line from The Office, by the way.
I know. I missed that.
Missed it.
It's fine.
What episode
is
that? Is that a season 8 thing?
No, it's the one where they, it's where Dunder Mifflin Infinity was infiltrated by the sex predators.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh,
this is the Dunder Mifflin Infinity 2.0, wasn't
That's
it?
That's right. Yeah.
2.0.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to jog my memory.
Yeah.
That's tier two. Right now, it's just Denver. Tier three.
This is fascinating.
The Lakers are going to go into tier three now, which is where Memphis is hanging out. They're the teams that I'm like.
Okay. No, I'm so. Okay, all right. Memphis.
No, this is good.
This is fascinating is what it is.
These are the teams. It was just Memphis. It was just the Grizzlies tier. Now it's the Grizzlies / Lakers tier, tier three. And I don't think they're going to make a run.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But if they did, if you came from the future and you said, I'm Damian Marling from July 2025, Memphis went to the finals, I wouldn't be like,
what? Okay. All right. So it's Memphis and L.A.?
Yeah.
Memphis
now.
And LeBron-less L.A.?
Yeah.
Okay, got
Ish.
It.
Kind of,
okay.
I think.
And this is the third year, correct?
This is the third.
Mm-hmm.
So just, okay, explain number four, because you're doing a thing right now, and I think I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
What's tier four? What are the parameters for tier four?
Tier four
is
the, like, not winning the West, but wouldn't want to see him in the playoffs.
All right. Now, who's tier four?
Everyone else.
Okay. This is dumb. You're doing a thing right now. I feel like you're doing a thing.
I don't think he's doing a bit.
No, I think
correct.
You are.
I'm just being correct on the radio.
Okay.
What's
so the Warriors?
Let's start here. I'll take notes on the beef.
So the Golden State Warriors.
Pause?
Yeah, pause.
Yeah.
Now you know what? Hold on.
Yeah. Uh oh.
Yeah. That you can't just do that. That's a flag. Holding
one stuff.
It's fine.
Okay. The issues you have with my list. Go ahead.
The Warriors are in the same tier as the Clippers.
Yeah. For now, it's a wide range for sure. I'm with so now. Keep in mind. Golden State could go up to tier three. In fact, you know what? If you want to argue that Golden State's in tier three, I'm not going to push back super hard on that.
I'd argue Golden State's in tier two.
Really?
Yes.
I just here's my issue.
If you're
with
putting
this.
Denver there with what you just said about Denver's roster, mm-hmm. you've got Denver in two.
Yeah.
Why can't Golden State be there?
Because I've watched Golden State be down by like 25 to the Bulls and down by 27 to the Nets, and they're having to come back.
Did they
and
win
fight
any of those
Hornets.
Games?
Oh yeah, they won them by
okay.
a lot.
Okay.
But it's just, I am much closer to sold now than I was. But I've also watched them go 12-3, and then they went 13-23, and now they're 12-2 again. And they're better than they were at the in that middle part of the year, to be sure. But if you want to put them in tier three as a like, you could see them coming out. I'm not going to necessarily argue with that. But are they beating OKC in a playoff series? I don't think so. Are they beating Denver in a playoff series? I don't think so. Are they beating Memphis in a playoff series? Like definitely beating Memphis? I don't think so. So.
Wow, Kyle Mountain, not on the Warriors. You heard it here first.
I think Kyle, I think he's doing a thing.
No,
and this
no, no, no,
is his
no.
thing, and it's fine.
No, this is that's where they are. Now,
am I too high on the Warriors?
If it to put them in a, you could see them coming out of the West tier. They're just relying a lot on like Moses Moody continuing to play really well and Quentin Post, a second round rookie. And like there's some nights where it's like, yeah, hey, can Buddy knock down a shot?
That's where
like
I'm
kind of. Oh, I've lived right, that so life. That, I do not factor in Shavano so, when I'm
well,
evaluating.
And now what I'm waiting on is they have to reinsert Jonathan Kuminga into this mix.
Okay. Yeah,
and
right.
This is where, and I was talking to some people about this who follow Golden State day in and day out. And they were like, the Jonathan Kuminga thing is not going to be a problem because he's either going to play well or he's going to the bench and he's not going to play. And I don't know if I believe that.
I don't think I do either. You don't just throw him to the side with the, like, you'll need him in a series, won't you?
That's kind of what I've okay. been thinking.
Yeah.
Because if you get Jonathan Kuminga coming back and yeah, he's bought in on defense. Wow. Jimmy Butler is having a huge influence on him. And oh my, he's developing into this two-way threat that everybody thinks he can be, that he certainly thinks he can be. Then sure, like I'll buy in. But they need him to come back, fit in without the rest of the team falling off or other key pieces falling off. They need him to fit in, and then they need him to produce. They need him to be like 15-18 a night, and playing really really good defense.
You need that from him. Like yeah. right at 15-18, okay.
In my opinion, yeah.
Okay.
If they're gonna be a team that can come out of the West,
I do think there's a middle ground. Like for the Warriors, I think you might be a little too high, and Kyle might be a little too low.
Yeah, they can go okay. in.
I throw them
in fact,
in Memphis
you know tier. I'm down with that. Okay, yeah. They can go in the Memphis tier.
A live amendment. Okay.
Yeah, they can go in the Memphis tier.
Okay. I don't.
I actually
I
know
do,
what
I just,
thinking. I think
maybe I'm too low on Memphis because I just do not see that. But I'm probably too low on Memphis too.
Yeah, I don't. That's the middle ground between like, yeah, they're not winning. Like, that's the middle ground between, oh, they could make it, and I think they might give a team a tough series, but I'm not taking them to win multiple series. And I'll believe they could win three series and go to the finals. Like, Memphis is in a weird spot for me. Their offense is sick.
Mm-hmm.
When you have Jaren Jackson and like Desmond Bane, but Desmond Bane's a huge question mark defensively, especially because of his back. Like, what are you going to get from Ja in a playoff series? I have no idea. But I think they have the right pieces. I think Taylor Jenkins, as much as I don't like his vibe, I think he's a good basketball coach.
Me neither.
But I think he's a good coach.
But his vibe, I feel like, fixed the basketball team.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like ugh. Like, ah.
Yeah, that's the Memphis. Ugh. Yeah,
like
yeah.
Just
in a perpetual state of stank face.
Yeah, yeah. So I again, would I bet on Memphis to come out of the West? No, but if you told me they made it, I wouldn't be floored at all. And I think while we're amending live, Lakers sans LeBron are going down a tier for me. They go down to tier four.
Wow. This is crazy to me, but we're not expecting the Lakers non-LeBron to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, but we're talking right now.
Like, we're literally talking about 12:34 on March 13th. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're in all tier right, four well, today.
It's your tier. We can do whatever the hell we want with it.
Damn right I can. All right,
Lakers
hang
down
on
to four.
Do we want to make the Lakers their own tier as tier four and knock everybody else down to five?
I don't think you believe in the Lakers.
So we have five contender tiers here?
Not contenders.
Well, not really.
We have the contender, the like, oh, okay, so they could definitely
tiers
give
of
it
the
a
West,
run.
Then. Tiers of the West.
Tiers of the West, right. The second tier is they could make it. I don't think they would, but they definitely could. They're the top contender to the contender. And then there's everybody else.
I think there's four teams that could come out of the West.
Warriors, Denver, OKC.
The Lakers.
Lakers.
The Nuggets might be the lowest on that tier. You know, might be the second lowest. And this is what I need you to help me with, is OKC. I am struggling to buy into the Thunder.
Really?
Why? I am. I'm trying to envision another marquee win for them last night. Beat the Boston Celtics. I'm trying to envision a scenario where, all right, you give me game one, it's Oklahoma City, and I'll say Los Angeles just for fun, the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out there, they get that big marquee win, and all right, game two, you know, in two nights or whatever. And then, like, how do they adjust through a series?
Sure.
Specifically, how do they adjust in the second series in the West and the mm-hmm. third series in the West? And how do they adjust as this thing continues to move on? Because that's where you need other guys outside of SGA to do some heavy lifting for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good basketball. It's a really, really good basketball team. But if people are willing to kind of look the other way with what Cleveland's doing and say Boston, because they're the defending champs, is still the team to beat in the East, then there's, I feel like I can look the other way when it comes to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's different, man. There's nobody.
Why?
Because there's nobody in the West that's even close to Boston outside of, like, OKC. There's not, like, people are side-eyeing Cleveland, not because of what Cleveland's doing individually, but because it's like, hey, at the end of this rainbow is the Celtics.
I think that's partially, okay, so maybe the idea of not buying Cleveland is really not buying Cleveland beating Boston.
Yeah, that's it. Not buying Cleveland is, I'm still picking Boston.
Okay.
Cleveland's awesome. I've been on record.
Very, very
good.
I've
never been more wrong about a thing than I was about Cleveland this year. Okay. I watched them in the playoffs last year and was like, ah, it's just not a cohesive group. I don't think they're ever going to figure it out. I think they're going to have a tough start to the year. They're going to make some trades, and it's going to look different. And then they were on pace for like 75 wins for half the year.
Well, in comes Kenny Atkinson.
Right, like, and they're incredible. And if you told me they came out of the East, I wouldn't be stunned. But I'm picking Boston for now. There's nobody in the West commensurate with that. If
that's fair.
If I
hear you.
If
like
Boston
and
Cleveland play in a series, if Boston and Cleveland play in a series, Boston's favored.
Sure.
It might not be by a lot,
sure.
But they'll
be
favored.
Sure.
OKC is going to be favored in every series they play in the West. Probably handily. And then when
that's
you talk about
true.
It's so, okay, teams, because you're right. It playoffs get a little more physical, so SGA is not getting to the line as much as he normally does.
Yeah.
But I think he's skilled enough that doesn't matter as much. I think you have enough secondary playmaking, ball handling with Jalen Williams. I think you've got enough shot making with everybody on their freaking roster.
Is Jalen Williams a killer?
He might be.
Okay.
TBD.
This is when we might find out then, because this is where you're going to need it. This is where it's Tatum and it's Brown, or it's Jokic and Murray, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, this is when it's
Dame
and Giannis.
I think they believe he is, because they have a real like title shot this year,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't done anything.
It's true, yeah.
Like, there were options out there if they wanted to use their picks and a bunch of this excess talent they have to go get a bona fide second guy. I think they think that Jay Will is that guy. So that's Jay Will, right? J Dub and Jay Will. Yeah. J Dub's the big, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I think they think he's that guy. And then defensively, they're just sick, and they might be able to just suffocate people, and it might not matter what they're doing offensively. But I think Mark Daigneault's a good coach.
He's a very
good roster. Super deep.
Cleveland point differential 11.3. Oklahoma City point differential 12.5. Cleveland 8.5 game lead on the Boston Celtics. The Oklahoma City Thunder a 12 game lead on the Memphis Grizzlies and Denver Nuggets. Man, those are the teams in the regular season so far. Do you have a coach of the year? I thought this was a fun conversation yesterday.
Man. It is. I was a big Jamal Mosley guy for a lot of the year, and then Orlando kind of fell off.
Yeah.
I think you got to give it to Atkinson, right?
Well, what we really boiled it down to is how you truly feel about the coach of the year.
Yeah.
And it's either the guy who's coaching Cleveland or the guy who was coaching Cleveland.
Yeah, J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yeah, yeah. He's terrific.
My Pistons.
Absolutely. Kyle Madsen's Detroit Pistons.
Might be his greatest call of all time.
They're they're going to make the playoffs.
Yes.
Like, they're going to be a top six team. They're not falling out of this.
If Cleveland was a game ahead of Boston right now, and it was kind of going back and forth, I think it'd be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Boston's really good, and Cleveland is like way up in the standings. Where are they? What are they? 8.5 up on Boston?
Yeah.
Like, they are way the best team.
Yeah.
And that's where I think it's the same reason that people are saying that Shea's the MVP over Jokic. Like, Jokic might be the better player, but OKC is just so much better than Denver that the player on that team has to be the MVP if it's at least close to even.
Shea's numbers are insane.
They're ridiculous.
Like, I know it's, Jokic is the better player. Like, please do not tell me he's averaging a triple-double. Kiss my ass with your averaging me a triple-double. Because y'all cared about it once and didn't care about it the five other times the guy did it. So shut the hell up about the triple-double.
Whoa.
Collectively. Not pointing this at anybody. Just saying as a collective, don't use that as an argument with me.
Hmm. I see.
But SGA is number one in, like,
yeah,
like
he's not,
seven categories.
It's not. I've heard this on. I listened to some basketball podcasts, not to brag, and the idea that
Kyle Madsen, big podcast guy.
I think the only wrong, and I felt this way in the NFL too. To me, the only wrong take is that I think Mina Kimes actually said this. This is not a Kyle Madsen original thought. I'm stealing this from Mina Kimes. The only wrong take is that the answer is definite.
Hmm.
Like, I think in the NFL, there was a really good argument for Lamar Jackson. There was a really good argument for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen won. That doesn't take away Lamar Jackson's awesome year. Yeah. I think there's a really good answer for, argument for Jokic. Mm-hmm. I think there's a really good argument for Shea. And whoever wins it is going to be like, dang, that was a worthy MVP.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, there was another guy who was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think there's this.
I don't know that the other guy's going to get referenced. I really think it's these two.
Yeah, no, Jokic was the other guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Yeah. Misunderstood. Yeah. Yeah, I think
poor
this,
Giannis.
Oh, my God.
He's averaging like 32 and 13, and he's not even
Giannis,
in the conversation.
Giannis has beat his MVP numbers like three times.
And he's not even been in the conversation.
Never been in the discussion again. Can you stick around for a few more minutes? Okay, we'll come back because we'll get back to basketball for sure. I really would like to ask you about what the 49ers are doing.
No, boy.
Kyle Madsen. Well, I read an article on Niners where I said it's not time to panic.
Well, it's not yet.
But that signing yesterday got some people's attention, so we'll talk about it. We're thrilled that you're here with us. Dealing with Casey. Brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, we're back here. Casey out ill today. Kyle Madsen, kind enough to hang out and spend some time here as we were talking basketball, tiers, championship contenders, all of those different things. And I hate to divert from the basketball conversation because it's so much fun. We can get back to it later, but I don't want to occupy too much of your post-show time. So I want to talk about football for a few minutes, specifically the team that you cover over at Niners Wire, Candlestick Chronicles podcast. It's very good. I listen to it regularly.
My man.
So let's start with the obvious. Mac Jones, he is now a member of the San Francisco 49ers.
Keep going. It's fine.
It's fine. Mac Jones is a member of the San Francisco 49ers. 2-year, $7 million deal to be the 49ers backup. $5 million guaranteed. He does have an opportunity to earn up to $11
million. Mm-hmm.
What does this tell you? Okay, he threw his hands up. I think that's what most of us thought when the tweet came through.
So if this was if Mac Jones had his exact same career, everything is exactly the same, but he was the fifth round pick.
Uh huh.
He was a fifth round pick in 2021.
Yeah.
This doesn't move the needle even a small amount.
Okay.
but Mac Jones is going to forever be associated with the 49ers in the 2021 draft because that was the guy that everybody was certain. And this isn't even, I don't even want to put this on like the media told us. No, like people in the building in San Francisco, I had people like, hey, pre-write your Mac Jones stuff. It's happening. That's what the vibe, that's what people inside the building thought.
Fascinating.
Yes. And I want to keep it, this is people who are around the team, cover the team, talk like this is everybody. This was not like an Adam Schefter national media special where sure. we're like going, what? No, this was
sure.
the consensus. And then on draft night, they go with Trey Lance to the point that we found this out after the fact. The TV cameras, when the number three pick was going, were standing in Mac Jones' little cubicle thing at the draft.
Really?
And then they got word that that wasn't the pick, and they had to sprint down to Trey Lance's little cubicle right as the pick was getting announced.
Yeah.
That's how, like, that's where it was. So, it's not nothing that Mac Jones was the guy that they decided was going to be their backup quarterback.
Okay.
But I also don't think, like, the immediate reaction I saw was, what does this mean for Brock Purdy's contract negotiations? Is there going to be some kind of quarterback battle? Kyle Shanahan finally got his guy. I don't think it's that dramatic.
It does feel though. Like Kyle kind of got his guy, though.
Hey, low-key. Like, but I think he liked Mac Jones. Yeah. I genuinely think he liked Mac Jones, but I think he saw what we've seen with Mac Jones, and like, there's kind of a ceiling here.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to take a big swing. They wanted to get a Josh Allen type of quarterback with Trey Lance, and that hasn't worked out, or didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I don't think they hated Mac Jones. They just went, hey, we want to take a bigger swing.
We're here. Let's go for it.
So they get a quarterback they know they liked. And when you start going through, we did this a little bit today. You start looking at the other quarterbacks who are available. It's like Gardner Minshew, Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz, like Cooper Rush, Joe Flacco. Who's the cat that was on? Taylor Heineke.
Mm-hmm.
It's names like that, and Mac Jones, if you strip away the whole 2021 draft process and how hectic that was, Mac Jones is one of those guys. You're just like, yeah, he's probably not good enough to be a starter, but if you need him to come in and manage a game, you feel like you have at least a chance to win it. But there's always going to be the 2021 draft.
Yeah.
And God forbid Brock Purdy struggle and then get hurt and Mac Jones come in and win a couple of games, and now all of a sudden we're back here.
You think Kyle Shanahan's still the coach of the 49ers if they end up going with Mac Jones in that draft?
Oh, good question.
Is Trey Lance led to Brock
Purdy?
Yeah,
probably. Oh. Like, yeah, I don't. That's the thing is, I don't know if they still use a draft pick on a quarterback. If I think Mac is probably better now had he been in the 49er system for 4 years than being on that version of the Patriots and going to the Jags. I don't know. Probably. Yeah, he probably is. But they're probably in a little bit different spot. Yeah, I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's an interesting question. It is. The idea is that Mac Jones sticks around longer than Brock. I mean, sticks around longer than Trey Lance did.
Yeah, Trey was just done when it started. And
But to that point, if Mac Jones' career trajectory is the exact same and the 49ers didn't pick Brock Purdy, let's just go to that sliding doors moment and assume they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't pick Brock Purdy last in that draft, and they don't have him right now. And
sure.
and Mac Jones nosedives the way he has in his career. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan is either gone or this is the year where it's like, all right, dog, here's your last chance.
Yeah. I knew the sec.
Kyle, don't go anywhere just yet.
Yeah. TC, 916-909-1320. Go ahead, TC.
You know what? Hey, you know what, TC? Hang on. Don't go ahead. Typically, I push back on stuff TC has to say, but given how much Kyle Shanahan has ruined various points in my life with this quarterback stuff, with trades up and with Trey Lance, and is he starting, is he not, and Jimmy Garoppolo, is he staying, is he not, the fact that they're now signing Mac Jones, I'm going to just agree with anything TC has to say today.
And we don't even know what he's going to say
yet. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, that's what I've been trying to say the whole time right now, but look, hey, we got to be a fool, right, Kyle? You sharp, D-Lo, you sharp, Niner fans, you sharp, right? That's why they like talking to us. You got to be crazy if you don't think that Mac Jones is going to come in and compete with Brock Purdy for that starting job. That Kyle is like, this is my last ride, dog. We going all in. We ain't paying this dude nothing. We finna see if he finna duke it out. If he can beat out Matt, the guy that I want to pick with the number 3 overall pick, then we'll give him that money. You got to be crazy to think that he's not finna come in and compete, bro. That's all I got, man.
All right, TC.
I disagree.
So he's gonna come in and Well, I think what's throwing you is there was no trashing of Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to let it go. But no, this is a great decision from Kyle Shanahan, I guess, for TC.
TC's not a Brock Purdy guy, by the way.
No, he's definitely sure. He wants to sign Brock Purdy for $7 and some jawbreakers. Sure.
So here's the pushback I have on that. A, I don't think Mac Jones is that good. Where he would definitively beat out Brock Purdy in a quarterback competition. And there's not going to be one. He's going to get the QB2 snaps, and Brock Purdy's going to be QB1, and that's how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, the 49ers wouldn't be operating the way they're operating this offseason if they had some doubt that they were going to extend Brock Purdy this offseason.
Sure.
The way they're managing their money right now is so they have cap flexibility and financial flexibility over the next 2, 3, 4 years, where if, I don't know, if D. Winters winds up being the second coming of Dre Greenlaw, they can sign him to a good deal. If Renardo Green winds up being this awesome cornerback, like, they have the flexibility to sign him. That's what they're doing this offseason because they know they're going to be paying a quarterback big money over the next few years. If they had any plan of, hey, Mac Jones is available, let's bring him in, we're going to have a low-key quarterback competition, and maybe we can avoid paying Brock. If that's their plan and they're still operating like this offseason, I have no idea what they're doing.
I don't think it is.
I don't. It's not. I would be floored. That's just bad. That's bad team building. It's horrible business. Is that what they're doing?
Are you guys concerned at all if they take this Brock Purdy negotiation stuff into training camp?
Yeah,
like just as far as maybe how they view Brock, or not they negotiate, but like why is it taking?
I think they're
again?
Being stupid. Like if in your scenario, because you know what it's going to take to get this done. I mean, I don't think either side. We're talking the last pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
The tough part about this is I don't know who Brock's agent is.
He's never done a big money deal like this. This is his first big one.
I mean, an agent for the last pick in the draft is a whole lot different than an agent for the first pick in the draft.
Correct.
Or the first round in the draft. Or, in reality, probably the first 3 rounds of the draft. You're talking about the very last guy who was drafted. That means you probably didn't even know if he was going to get selected. And I don't know that there has ever been a negotiation like this before where you have a guy who immediately upon entering the league is kind of slotted as a Mr. Irrelevant, a lower tier guy, a lower paid guy, to someone who's going to be paid at the top of his position,
mm-hmm.
which in this case equals the top of the league.
Right.
You're now negotiating a contract for the last pick in the draft to be one of the top probably 5 players in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to blame the 49ers because I think they screw up every contract negotiation.
They have. Yes.
I'm facts. Really crossing my fingers for the agent to pull this one off because he might be... He might be boxing in a class that he's not ready for.
Right. So that's where so I can't decide if that helps the 49ers or hurts them.
I think like, it hurts all of us.
Just to get back to Jesse's point, if this goes into training camp, fire everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously. You've known for since he got you to the NFC title game as a rookie and then came back and got you to the Super Bowl coming off major elbow surgery. Like, you've kind of known. You're gonna have to pay this guy. If you're not ready to do that, what are we all doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But I get that my concern is that his agent comes in again, boxing in a class that he doesn't belong in, and he starts throwing kicks.
Mm.
Like he goes, well, Dak Prescott got this, so that's our starting point.
No, sir, it's not
right. That would be insane.
Yeah.
So, but it wouldn't shock me if that's like where he starts, and all of a sudden this starts to get messy.
Well, that's the dumb thing about this, and this is what I hate. It's not exclusive to the NFL, the NBA. It's not exclusive to sports. It's contract negotiations.
Yes.
Why? you're trying to see how little you can pay me.
Right.
And I'm trying to see how much you can pay me.
Correct.
And we're starting our conversations off on the wrong foot.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a completely disingenuous conversation because I'm asking you to pay me something I know you're not going to pay.
Right.
You're asking me to take something you know I'm not going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we skip all of this? And I'm going to lay the case out for you as to why Brock Purdy should make more than Tua Tagovailoa.
Sure.
Why Brock Purdy should make more or on the same plane as a guy like Joe Burrow or make more than a guy like Trevor Lawrence. Like that's the field in which we're playing in right here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have this discussion. But that is never how contract negotiations work. I used that strategy in my last contract negotiation. I got really lucky because it worked.
Oh,
but I felt like I was look, I know how this works. You know how this works. And I was negotiating for six people. Mm-hmm. Me, you, James, mm-hmm. Jesse, all of us.
Right.
It's the first time ever that they were like, it took them 6 months, but they were like, okay.
Yeah, boy, did it.
Yeah, well, as Kyle is contemplating becoming a painter.
Dude, hey, I nothing know. Worse than realizing you have no marketable skills. Yeah, hey, I see you have this office job open. You guys got radio shows there?
It was really tough. It's really tough to call one of your best friends every day and go, hey, hang in there, man. Like, I think it's almost there. And then a week later, hey, man, yeah, don't go take that accounting job. It's we're right there. That's a tough call to make.
You know what's funny? Show started September 5. I went to SoCal in July. I had a meeting with a boss here at the time about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me in that meeting, when can you start? And I said, I'm going to SoCal this weekend. This is on like Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to SoCal this weekend. I'm supposed to come back on Monday. I could start Tuesday, but I can cut that short so I can start Monday. And he went, put his arm around me and goes, hey, go to SoCal, enjoy it. Take the whole time. Don't cut it short and just enjoy it knowing that you're going to have a job when you come back. And I said, bet. Like, you got it. That was July, like, 26th.
God damn it.
And September 5th.
Oh, good old radio.
Unreal.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.